NPR's Scott Horsley joins us now to help recap the president's speech and also the Republicans' response to it. Scott, the president's tone this evening, decidedly upbeat.
That's right, Robert. For years, Obama has struggled not to seem too rosy at a time when a lot of Americans were in a deep economic funk. And given some of the false dawns we've seen over the years, that was a wise move. But now the U.S. has just come off its strongest year of job growth since 1999. Unemployment has been dropping sharply. The deficit is a fraction of what it once was. And the U.S. is in better shape than most other countries around the world. Obama says it's time to turn the page.
America, for all that we have endured, for all the grit and hard work required to come back, for all the tasks that lie ahead, know this: the shadow of crisis has passed, and the state of the union is strong.
Indeed, polling shows most Americans are feeling more bullish about the economy now, if perhaps not as bullish as the president is, and Obama's own poll numbers have improved as well.
The Republican response from Iowa Senator Joni Ernst had a very different feel.
Yes, if for a long time when times were hard, Obama had the tough job of telling voters, without my policies, things would be even worse. Now that the situation is better, it's the Republicans who have to make the argument that without the president's policies, things could be better. So Ernst worked kind of hard to find the dark cloud around Obama's silver lining.
We see our neighbors agonize over stagnant wages and lost jobs. We see the hurt caused by canceled health care plans and higher monthly insurance bills. We see too many moms and dads put their own dreams on hold while growing more fearful about the kind of future they'll be able to leave to their children.
Not surprisingly, the president chose to focus on a different scorecard, noting that more than 10 million people in the country now have health insurance thanks to Obamacare, and the pace of health care inflation has slowed dramatically.
Now, the president attached a new label to his economic agenda tonight. He spoke of middle-class economics. What does he mean by middle-class economics?
Well, the White House tried hard to not use the usual format of a State of the Union address to just lay out a laundry list of proposals, but to instead focus on the sort of broader choices that are before us and the values that Obama thinks should guide us in those choices. And the shorthand he chose for that is middle-class economics.
Will we accept an economy where only a few of us do spectacularly well? Or will we commit ourselves to an economy that generates rising incomes and chances for everyone who makes the effort?
As he telegraphed in the days leading up the speech, Obama's calling for higher capital gains taxes on the wealthy, including their inherited wealth, and he wants to use some of that money to provide tax benefits to middle-class families, as well as more education, so those families can get better jobs in the future. Obama also referred indirectly to the controversy over the Keystone XL oil pipeline. Recall that was the very first bill that the new Republican Senate took up. And Obama says there are a whole lot of other public works projects that also need the government's attention.
So let's set our sights higher than a single oil pipeline. Let's pass a bipartisan infrastructure plan that could create more than 30 times as many jobs per year and make this country stronger for decades to come. Let's do it. Let's get it done.
And again, that reference, the allusion to a single oil pipeline, was to the XL Keystone pipeline. Scott, foreign policy usually takes a backseat in the State of the Union, and this was no exception. But the president did spend a few minutes talking about the new approach to Cuba and also the battle against the Islamic State.
On Cuba, he said simply, the policy that we've been doing for 50 years hasn't worked, so it was trying to try something new. And he called on Congress to go further and formally end the embargo. He also welcomed home Alan Gross, who was also there in the First Lady's box. He'd been held prisoner in Cuba for a number of years now. The news on Islamic State was perhaps grimmer, but the president expressed determination to continue to take the fight to that extremist group, but to do so with a light U.S. footprint.
Finally, President Obama hearkened back to the speech that put him on the national map in 2004, the speech that he gave at the Democratic Convention. And tonight he defended the Obama brand.
He did. And, you know, that post-partisan brand has taken a beating as it's given way to hyper-partisanship on the president's watch. But Obama insists he hasn't given up on the vision that was initially attractive to so many of his supporters. And it was also in this part of the speech that he referred obliquely to some of the racial divides that have gripped the country in the last year. He said, "We may not all agree on how we see what happened in Ferguson or in New York City," but he expressed sympathy both for fathers who worry about their sons being harassed by police and by police wives who worry if their officer husbands will come home from work safely. And he said he wants children in every neighborhood to know their life matters.
"I want them to grow up in a country that shows the world what we still know to be true, that we are still more than a collection of red states and blue states, that we are the United States of America."
A self-conscious echo there of the 2004 speech. And while he acknowledged the deep divisions that continue in this country, Obama said, "Republicans and Democrats, even when they have arguments, should have arguments that are worthy of the country."
NPR's Scott Horsley with that recap of the president's sixth State of the Union address. And we also heard there some of what Iowa Senator Joni Ernst had to say in the Republican response. Scott, thank you.
My pleasure.